Good morning and a good Erev Shabbos. We are studying Sefer Yehoshua, and we're going to summarize two prakim today because, first of all, today is Friday. We're not going to have a chance to learn together over Shabbos. But second of all, it's kind of ironic that these two prakim, Tazayin and Yudzayin, really sort of fit together. In Perek Tazayin, we learn about what exactly was going to fall into the Goral, into the Yerusha, the opportunity for the children of Yosef, who inherited. Now, you have to remember, who's inheriting in the land of Israel? We have the Shevet of Ephraim, who is one of Yosef's sons, and also half of the Shevet of Manasseh, because the other half had taken their portion in Aver HaYarden with Reuven and Gad. So, we start with the Nachalas Ephraim in Perek Tazayin, which included Shiloh, it just as the parak goes on, it's a relatively short parak, we learn that they didn't exactly go ahead and inherit the Kenani. In other words, the Kenani were not kicked out of the land, and specifically in Perek Tazayin, we learned that they didn't leave the city of Gezer. And instead, what did they do? They took control of them, and the Kenani who were living there wound up paying taxes in that situation. And the tax was not a financial tax, it was a tax of obligation. They worked municipal jobs for the Jewish people. Again, one of the lessons herein is the Kenani in the future are going to be a thorn in the side of Bnei Yisrael because they didn't go ahead and capture, because they were still left on the land. And this does become a problem and becomes a lesson of a harbinger of things to come for the Jewish people when we have bad elements that we think we're just going to make a little bit of peace with and let them continue to live among. It sometimes causes a challenge to the Jewish way of life. Am levadad yishkon, Balak said to us, we are supposed to live in our land as a separate people. And so when the people are intertwined and intermingling, etc., it does present challenges to the Jewish way of life. And this becomes one of the lessons of Perek Tazayin. It's also interesting to note, why is it that Yosef follows Yehuda? It doesn't fit in terms of the encampment around Israel. Yehuda should have been followed by the two Shvatim that were under his Degel, right? And Yosef is in a different place. So why is it Yosef who's listed over here in Prakim Tazayin and Yudzayin? So it should be most likely because these two Shvatim, Yosef and Yehuda, are the descendants of the people themselves, Yehuda and Yosef, both of whom showed rulership qualities. Both of them at different points in time led Am Yisrael. And both of them there got very similar nachlos. Rabbi Michael Hatton points out in his Koran commentary, he says they got similar types of nachalos, which went from the Yam HaGadol, from the Mediterranean, all the way out to the Yarden. However, there were different sizes, as we'll see in a little bit. But this is one of the great mirrors of Judaism, in that Yosef and Yehuda parallel one another. And in the Haftorah for Parshas Vayigash, we highlight the fact that Yechezkel HaNavi does make the declaration that there's going to be one tree, one branch that's going to be written for the Yehuda Uli Yisrael Chaverav, and another branch that's going to be the Yosef Uli Yisrael Chaverav for Yosef and his and the rest of the Jewish people as friends, and the goal is to bring them together. Well, this is a split that hopefully will also have the hope in the future to bring these two great powers of Judaism together, Yehuda and Yosef. So Perek Yudzayin, which dovetails Perek Tazayin, now speaks a little bit more about the borders, not of Ephraim, but rather of Menashe ben Yosef. Hanosarim, the pasuk tells us that they're left over. Why are they the leftover ones? Well, maybe the leftovers were the ones in Aver HaYarden. Remember, the Yerusha, the inheritance of Menashe, went to two different places because half the Shevet packed up and moved across the Yarden, and half moved into Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban in Parshas Maaseh points out that Menashe was not originally interested in being in Aver HaYarden. Moshe Rabbeinu had divided it to Reuven and Gad, but he saw that the portion on the other side of the Yarden River was way too big for those two Shvatim. And so therefore he wanted to find another Shevet or another part of a Shevet that wanted to go and join in, says the Ramban. And so part of this tribe of Menashe answered, but that part was not the full part. There were two families, Machir and Gilad. And they were the ones who chose to go ahead. Ramban suggests perhaps because they were the smallest of the families, but they wanted to get their Yerusha to make sure that they would have an imprint and enough room, and so they took Avar Yardin. So the ones that we're talking about here in Perek Yud Zayin are the ones who are from the other side. The Perek goes on to talk about the fact that among others who received their portion from Menasha, we meet again the Benos Tzlafchad. It's interesting, says Michael Hatton, Rabbi Hatton, that when we're talking in this parallel between Yehuda and Yosef, we also find the power of the women. We talked about Achsa and about Yehuda, Achsa, the daughter of Kali ben Yefuna, who also wanted to receive a certain inheritance within the land. And now we talk about Benos Tzlafchad. We see, of course, the importance that usually women are not so involved in the real estate. However, they were in regard to Eretz Yisrael, the women become Mechabavos, as Aretz Rashi points out. They were Chachmanios, Darshanios, and citing the Gemara and Baba Basra, we see that the women were very particularly interested because they had such a love for Eretz Yisrael. And anyway, getting back to our situation here, Benos Tzlafcha get their inheritance just as Hashem promised Moshe. And Menasha, the Perek tells us, was not able to inherit certain cities, Beit Shan, and Yivlam, and Ein Dor. And not only that, the Kanani once again continued to be in their inheritance as well. And while they never conquered them totally, they also become taxpayers into the Jewish coffers, into the Menashe coffers. And Bnei Yosef also wanted to understand why they got such a small nachala. They said, how come we got a nachala in a little strip of land? We are a large nation. So why is it that that happens? And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh points out that how did it happen that the nachala wasn't going to fit the people? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Zos HaBracha explains that when we talked about the division of the land, it was done on the basis of a census that was done in Sefer Bamidbar. However, Yosef, we are told, Mivorechas Hashem, Arzo Hashem should bless his land. Why? They should get most, they should get a lot of Tuvas Aretz, a good part of the land. Why is that? Because, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it happened that when they came into the land, it was only when they came into Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon makes a similar answer, that it was only when they came into Eretz Yisrael, that's when they started to have this incredible population explosion. Indeed, the Brisker Rav turns around and comments, if you go back and you examine the census, you'll find that Yosef's children don't really have an overwhelming population. So what they're arguing about over here in Perek Tazayin Yud Zayin doesn't really fit that much. Therefore, suggests the Brisker Rav and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh that quite frankly, they needed to go ahead and receive some sort of extra benefit because they had multiplied once they came into the land of Israel. Anyway, so Yoshua gives Yosef a suggestion that what can they do? They can conquer, in order to conquer the Kanani, they should go ahead and run ahead and conquer it. But we find that those sections that couldn't be dislodged, that they couldn't handle, Yoshua goes ahead and tells them, go clear the territory for yourself in the land of Prizi and Rephaim. If you feel that the area of Ephraim, which was a hilly area, is not going to be able to be conquered. So the people of Menasha came back and said, well, the hill, quite frankly, it's not enough. And the Kanani in the valley, they are better equipped. They have chariots of iron, and we are not going to be able to be successful. So Yoshua said to them, listen, you have a lot of people, you have a lot of power, you won't have one Nachala, you also get the hills. But what you should do is you should better make sure to drive out the Kanani despite the fact that they have these iron chariots. It should be pointed out that some of the Mefarshim are quick to tell us that really what Yoshua was telling them to do was to use a very, very smart system. Yoshua doesn't change his mind. The Nachla comes from Hashem. But what Yoshua tells them to do is think out of the box. go ahead and go around the area where they have the iron chariots. Go from behind like Napoleon did. Come up with a new system, and then you'll be able to conquer them from the other side. Again, one of the fundamental lessons is sometimes, im tirtzu ein zu agada, sometimes you have to think out of the box and come around. If you get to that system, great things can come within the process. This is Parakim Tezayin and Yudzayin. I wish you all a wonderful, terrific Shabbos, and Be'ezus Hashem will continue with Parak Yudches on Sunday.